Father, I thank you for Valerie and her willingness to come and bring the word. I pray, Father, an anointing upon her and a liberty, Father, to bring that which you've placed on her heart. I pray, Father, even as she's speaking, she would have greater revelation and an anointing to bring it forth. And I pray for our hearts, Lord, that they'd be open to receiving all that you have to say to us through Valerie tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I went through like a season a few years ago where I was hearing a lot of people talk about, you know, vision. You know, I had a lot of friends who were starting businesses or were just getting ready to do some kind of big things. And they were like, okay, you know, I need my vision statement. I need my mission statement, you know? And also we were part of a ministry that was reclarifying, you know, what theirs were and what they were going for and everything. And we're really encouraging people, you know, like set your vision statement out before the Lord, you know? And, a lot of people I knew had these really big ones, you know? And, just super comprehensive or super detailed. And, you know, I'm 34 now, and this was a couple years ago. So I was in my earlier 30s, and Than wouldn't have been born yet. So I would have had 3 kids. And I was thinking and I was going, what I thought my life was going to look like has changed so many times, you know, like every year and every like just chunk of my life, it looked different than what I expected. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't always what I thought it was going to be like. And sometimes that was disappointing. And sometimes that was really exciting and a blessing from the Lord. You know, but I was thinking, I was like, okay, you know, when I was 14, I thought it was going to look one way. And when I was 24, I thought it was going to look a different way. You know, now that I'm 34, I have ideas about what it might look like, and I'm sure it'll change a bunch more times, you know, before I go to be with the Lord. And I didn't want to have to rethink through my vision, because I'm like, the Lord knows. He knows. He knew before I was born. He had dreams, and he had plans, and he had visions for my life. And I want to have something that adapts no matter what, you know, something that will hold true, that I'm not going to, 30 years from now, I'm not going to look at it and go, oh, well, I screwed that up, you know? And so I, as you do, I went to the scriptures, you know, and I was like, Lord, what is the great vision? You know, where are we going? You know, and I figured, you know, it's gotta be, there's stuff that we're all going for, you know, and what does this look like? What is something that I can hold onto and know it will be true and that measures success in my life? You know, no matter, what it looks like. You know, whether I stay homeschooling my children or whether they end up in a school, something that will hold firm, you know, 30 years from now when they are starting their own families. You know, what if I decide to go back into the workforce and do something? Like what holds firm? And so there was a lot of reading, and there was a lot of praying, and there was a lot of Googling, like what a vision statement even was. Like, I mean, that's me. I'm like, okay, what do other people do? What does it say? You know, and you kind of go to the internet and see what it goes, and some stuff you're like, that's not right at all. You know, and, I kept seeing this going back to like the big values and the big picture and all those things. And so, finally, you know, I'm sure the Lord was just waiting for me to get there. I came to Mark 12 and the first commandment, you know, the greatest commandment, which is in a bunch of different spots, in the Gospels, but I'm going to use the one in Mark. Okay? So let's see. We're going to Mark 12 and verse 28. We're going to start with. And it reads, "Then one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, perceiving that he being Jesus, had answered them well, asked him, 'Which is the first commandment of all?' Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' So the scribe said to him, 'Well said, teacher, you have spoken the truth, for there is one God, and there is no other but he. And to love him with all the heart, with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself is more than all the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' Now when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' But after that, no one dared question him." So tonight, the title that I had was The Great Vision of Our Life, Wholehearted Love. So I looked at this commandment and realized, in a realization where I had read it and known it before, but really it kind of imprinted itself on me this time. Do you ever have that where it's a scripture that you've read and you've known, and it's a truth that you've known and you've heard, and then just God opens it up in a new way, and you feel it on your heart, you know, it written on your heart in a different way than it has before, and it, like, different things click and line up in your mind, and you're like, oh, you know. Sometimes it's funny because that will happen to me or to Ron or, like, with my aunt, and we'll be talking about the Bible, and it'll be so simple, and we'll be like, guess what God just told me? You know, we'll be like, he told me he loves me. And we'll be like, yeah, I know. And be like, no. He said he loves me. You know, and you're saying it like because you felt it, but it's something so, so simple. And so this was like that for me, where I went, oh, that's what we're going for, God. I shall love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength. And that commandment is true no matter what season I find myself in. You know, no matter where I find myself living, no matter what culture I find myself in, whether I'm home with my children and homeschooling, you know, whether when I'm, you know, 30 years from now and I'm 64 and they're married and doing different things and Ron and I are in a completely different chapter of our lives, it's true no matter what. Yes. You know, that is what God desires for me, to bring wholehearted love. And so the expression of that looks different, you know, but it was true in the first century, you know, when he was talking to the scribe and he was talking to his disciples, and it's true now in the 21st century, and it will be true until the day the Lord comes back. And even after that, you know, it'll be a lot easier after that, you know, but it will still be what he is desiring for us to give him, that wholehearted love. And so, I realized that, you know, as a Christian, that's, you know, on Judgment Day, on the day the Lord evaluates our lives, that is what he's looking at. Is our heart, was our mind, our soul, and our strength, were we wholehearted in that, you know? And so for me personally, I could have just said, you know, my vision is to love the Lord my God, you know? And so, but I changed it to some different words that, you know, made me light up, you know, but it meant the exact same thing. Just, you know, imagery that works for me. But, that idea of that the goal of every season in our life is to produce love in our hearts is what I want to focus on tonight. In Romans, it says, all things work together for the good of those who love him. You know, it's a scripture that frequently gets pulled out in all sorts of situations. You know, something's going wrong, and you're like, all things work together for good, you know, and things are going right, and you're like, oh, all things work together for good, you know. And a lot of times we take that concept of good and we narrow it down into this really temporary and less significant thing than I think the Lord intended it to, you know. Something's going wrong, we're like, well, all things work together for good, and we expect that good to happen like the next day. You know, if we have to wait a week to see the good, it's kind of rough. You know what I mean? Like if we have to wait a year or years, that's really hard because you're like, God, all things work together for good, you know? And, but that goodness there is, yes, the Lord wants us to have good in the land of the living. I'm not negating that, but just opening up our eyes to see that it's the good of eternity, you know? There is something about the fact that God doesn't just care about where we end up. He cares about how we get there, yeah. Right? Like, it's not just, okay, I want you to get over there. It's, I care about your journey, right? I care about your journey. You know, in Philippians it says, he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it, right? And so we know that there's an aspect of that that gets completed when we stand before him, but there's things that he's working out in us right now, right? And our world is sinful and broken, and so there's things that happen in our lives that were not of his plan, right? Like that they're not what God gave to us. You know, other people sin against us, and it causes hurt and pain. That is not what the Lord intended, because if sin was not in the world, our relationships would not have that degree of friction in them, right? But because the Lord sees, you know, because he's omniscient, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he can make those strands turn into something good for us, right? You know, it's like a grain of sand goes into an oyster, right? And that irritation creates a pearl, right? And so the sin that is done against us is not of the Lord's design for us, because this world is sinful and broken in a way that was not his design and his plan. But he uses it to produce beauty in us, yeah. Right? Yeah. Right? You know? Because if we don't believe that, and if we don't hold on to it, then we get in a really messed up place when we're really sick, yeah. And healing doesn't break in. Or when we're in massive financial difficulty and we don't have the same degree of prosperity that someone else does. Or when we look at the plight of Christians in other countries. You know, if we believe that goodness is only what we see and feel and tangibly touch at this moment, then that calls into question the entire nature of God. Right? Because then what do we do when someone dies before we think it was time? You know, what do we do when, like how Lisa was sharing tonight, like what do we, when we're desperate, right? She was giving a word about God breaking in suddenly, but up until that moment, up until the moment he breaks in, there was desperation. And so if goodness, if God's goodness and the things that he works for good in us are only the things that happen right now, are only the things that I can touch and taste and feel that are true in this moment, then when something bad happens, I question his very nature. But if goodness, yes, there's good right here. There's good right here in the land of the living. And I don't say any of that to negate asking God to supernaturally break in on your circumstances at this moment and stand for it. You know, that's not to negate that at all. But if our ultimate good is being with him and his life eternal, then as things work together, we have to hold that. We have to hold that. How does this then work together for good? And what happens in the process? You know, how do I carry my heart if God is working this together for good? Let's flip to Romans, because there's another chunk of that I want to actually, it's Romans 8. I flipped right past Romans. I'm like all the way in Thessalonians. Why am I over there? Okay, Romans 8. Okay, so the verse that I've been quoting is Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Okay. But let's skip down to 35. What shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so we have this thing. On one hand, all things work together for good. And on the other, Paul's here talking about distress and nakedness and tribulation and famine and peril. But just a couple of verses earlier, he was like, all things work together for good. Right? So you have to, your faith has to conjoin those two things. That all things can work together for good. And yet, there can be tribulation. All things work together for good, and yet there can be famine, right? All things work together for good, and yet there's distress, right? And even in the midst of those things, I'm not separated from the love of God, right. Okay? And so the Lord's desire, the inheritance that Jesus has, is that he will have the obedience and submission of all the nations, and that he will have a people who loves him. Right? So there will come a day when every knee will bow before the Lord. And also, in that same day, there will be a people who have voluntarily and freely chosen to love the Lord. And they will be mature and perfect in love. Okay? That is where we are going corporately. Right? To become a people who are in love with the Lord. Who are perfect in that love. God made us for wholeheartedness. For wholehearted love. Because God is love. Right?
Yeah.
He is love. We don't get to say, it's not God is love like we get to define what love is and then we just add like 7 pluses to it. And that's God, right? It's not just like God is love as we understand it, plus, 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 plus. No, God is love, and then it trickles down into our understanding, right? And he made us in that image. God is love, and he made us in his image, which is love, right? Okay. He loves us wholeheartedly. And he uses that picture of a marriage to describe our relationship. Right? We just talked about that a little bit earlier. She shared, you know, Ephesians. You know, this is the picture. I speak of Christ in the church. It also says, when you're talking naturally, don't be unequally yoked. Right? Okay. God does not break his own word. Right? So if we are a picture of married to the Lord, and he is wholehearted in love to us, what is he expecting in return from us?
Yeah.
Wholehearted love, right?
Right.
Because he's not going to break his own word, right? He is wholehearted. We are to be wholehearted in return. And that's at the base of this commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Now, our alls are totally different things, right? The Lord's all is of a magnitude completely different than the all that I give. You know, I use the picture of like me with my kids, you know? I understand love and can provide love to them and demonstrate my love to them in many more ways than they can demonstrate their love to me. You know, like you talk about, you know, even presents. You know, if they want to, oh, I want to buy you a present to show how much I love you. They're using my money and my stuff to give me the present to demonstrate their love, right? It's the same thing with the Lord. You know, the song that we sung, it's like, it's your breath in our lungs, right? And we pour out our praise. Like, we're giving him a present with the stuff that he gave us. Like, it's not, I don't have anything. He makes this heart beat. He makes these lungs breathe. And with that beating heart that he gives me, you know, if I dance before him, it's because he gave me the strength to do it. There is nothing that I offer him that he didn't first give me. You know, tithes and, you know, tithes, offerings were like, oh, out of the generosity of my spirit, I give to you, Lord. And he's like, yeah, I gave that to you first. Yeah. You know, I gave that to you and you're going to give it back to me. I love that. But you didn't do that on your own, right? It's like, oh, I'm singing this song, da 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 da. And he's like, okay, yeah, I gave you the talent to sing and the music. And in fact, I gave you the breath and all of it. It's all mine and you're giving it back to me. But he loves that. Just in the same way that I love when my kids give me back what I gave to them. They're like, oh, I brought you a present. And it's this lovingly wrapped whatever that I gave them, you know? I love that. And I see it as a wholehearted expression from them in the same way that the Lord sees it as a wholehearted expression from us. It's like this, it's a cycle. Okay. In John 15, which, you know, I was here and I opened the service with that and I was like, oh, look at that. You know, John 15. And 9. As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Right? Abide in my love. So we have all these layers of love that are going to happen. Right? Okay, and I'm a math person. All right? And so there's this thing, and it's called equivalence. You know? And it's like, okay, if A equals B and B equals C, then A also equals C. Right? Okay? So that's what I see. We're doing this. So we're going to go on this journey of equivalence. I'm not going to use numbers. So that was as much math as that was going to be. Okay? But so, so as the Father, this is Jesus talking, as the Father loved me. So Jesus is saying, as the Father loves me, I love you. Right? So in Mark 12:30, maybe the verse before that, Jesus had said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one." Right? And so he's in three persons, but he's one. Right? He loves to a degree that they are now one being, though they exist in three persons. Right? So we saw that. The Lord is one. So we know that they love to a degree that they're like this. And so Jesus says, as the Father loved me, that one love, that intense degree, that means that we are one and that that is true. Even as I am on earth and he is sitting on the throne in heaven, that we are one. That is how I love you. Right? So God's love for Jesus equals Jesus' love for us. Right? Okay. And so then, to see how much further I have to go down, where is it? John 15:12, so a couple more verses down. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Right? So now we have another building block. So God's love for Jesus is the same as Jesus' love for us. And now Jesus' love for us is the same as our love for other people. So that's where it starts to get a little weird for me. Because I'm like, okay, God loves Jesus. Got you. Jesus loves me like that. Ooh, like that's exciting. But I still don't have anything to do with that. Right? Like God loved Jesus like that. I'm like, he can choose to love me like that too. I mean, that's kind of mind blowing. Like really mind blowing, not just kind of mind blowing. But then when he's like, okay, so now you have to do that to somebody else. And I'm like, Okay. Now we're doing something a little different, right? God's love for Jesus, check, equals Jesus' love for me. Awesome. Jesus' love for me, which is awesome, now has to be my love for someone else. Okay. We'll try to figure that out. Okay. And then in that same scripture that we started off with, Mark 12:30, right around there, he's like, and the second commandment, which is like it, is that you love your neighbor as you love yourself, right? So right there, you've got another equals. Love your neighboring equals the way you love yourself, right? So it can go either direction. You love your neighbor the way you love yourself, or the way you love yourself is the way you love your neighbor. It's an equal sign. It can go back and forth, right? So if the way Jesus loves me is the way I'm supposed to love my neighbor, and the way I love my neighbor is the way I'm supposed to love myself, then the way Jesus loves me is the way I'm supposed to love myself. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's all equals, 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 equals. You know, like that's the process. So God loves God this one loving way, super passionate, super intense. That's how he loves me. How he loves me is the way I'm supposed to love my neighbor. The way I love my neighbor is the way I'm supposed to love myself. And it circles back around because then he says, God says, love me with your whole heart, whole mind, and strength. So there's this whole like cycle of love thing happening. And it's all supposed to be to the same degree and the same intensity. And this is how I'm supposed to live my life. Like this is the vision God wants for me. Like every day, every season, this is what he wants to produce in me. This is the good that he's working everything out for. Because eternal life is to know the Lord, right? So that's the good thing. That's the thing that we're going for, is eternal life, but it's to know the Lord, right? And so this intimate knowing. And so every situation I find myself in is supposed to produce that, right? I'm supposed to love him more wholeheartedly, and I'm supposed to love you more wholeheartedly, right? And I'm supposed to love and see myself more the way that he loves and sees me. Like that's every moment is working in that. So if I am in a prosperous season with much financial blessing and have more than what I need, and I have enough to give and give abundantly and generously, and my family is in good health, it is to produce love in my heart. And if I am in a season with much financial strain and am needing the community to rally around me to meet my basic needs, or I'm struggling with illness, or my family is struggling with illness, or we're grieving, it is also supposed to produce love in my heart. That no matter what circumstances I find myself in, you know, even if it's the tribulation and the distress and the famine and the nakedness, it's not to separate me from the love of the Lord. And it's to continue to work that love in my heart. And so then the question becomes, okay, God, this is a really tall order. How am I supposed to do that? Right? And we've already established we're not doing anything on our own. Like we just said, even when I'm singing in the worship songs and I'm really feeling it and I'm like, oh yeah, Lord, I'm giving you all my praise. I'm using the breath he gave me to give that praise with, right? And so I'm a flipper in the Bible. Like I'm like, go over here and go over there and go over here. And so at any point, you're welcome to tap out and just listen to me rather than flip, 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 flip. But that's the way I grew up engaging with the Lord was going, oh, it says that over here too. And it says it over here. And it's, oh, wow. God, you're really cool that there's so many books in this Bible, but yet they all say the same thing. That's kind of awesome how you figured that out, you know? And so, so that's why I'm back and forth all over the place. Okay. So Romans, back to Romans, but to chapter 5 this time. And I'm just grabbing one verse out of there. Oh, that whole chunk is so good. Okay, but the part... that's always what I get. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to get this one verse. And I'm like, oh, but it's also... Okay, so Romans 5:5. The love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. You know what? I am going to go back. I'm going to do it. Romans 5:3. We glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. Okay, so we go through all this stuff, but it's okay. You know, we persevere, we get character. Character produces hope, and the hope always comes to fruition, because what we get is we get the love of God poured out in our hearts. So right there, we have this promise from the Lord that no matter the circumstance that we find in, that if we submit to the process, right, that the Holy Spirit pours out the love of God into our hearts. Okay. So we get greater revelation of his love for us, but we also get the love of God that's needed to love him back. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And so, it takes God to love God, right? We love because he first loved us. We praise him because he gave us breath. Not just we praise him for giving us breath. We praise him because we have the breath to do it. Right? And so we love him because the Holy Spirit gives us the love to do it, right? And that is where that whole cycle works. Because as long as I'm going, oh, I've got to love the Lord with all my heart, oh, you know, our son Than is 20 months old, and he, a couple months back, okay, so he's my first boy, and, it's totally different. Like people said it was going to be different. And I was like, all three of my girls are really different kind of people. You know, I'm probably, you know, one of my girls is super active. So I'm like, I think I've got this. And Ron was like, no, really, Valerie, boys are different. And I was like, eh. And I'm an only child. So I don't even know why I thought I knew anything. So I have no experience. I mean, I have cousins, but I don't have brothers. You know what I mean? And cousins are different because eventually they leave, you know? But this boy comes along and he is completely like, he walks around and he just shoves things off of things. Like he'll just be like, and so when my girls did that, I would look at their faces and they'd be having like a tantrum. So it's very easy, okay? Oh, you're tantruming, discipline. Time out, chair, whatever we're doing, okay? I look at his face and He's just being a boy. Like, people used to say that, and I'd be like, really? And I'm like, but no. Like, he's just, can I push that? Yes, I can push that. Can I push this one? I can push that one, too. Like, how hard can I push it? Oh, I can push it really hard, you know? And so there came a chunk of time where he discovered that he could exert different amounts of effort on his muscles. And so he would be sitting, eating, and then all of a sudden we'd look at him, he'd go, and I'd be like, what are you, are you pooping? Like, you know, and then, and I'd be like, and then he'd stop, and he'd like eat a little bit more, and then he'd just go, you know, and just start trembling, like he'd make his face red. And I just look at him like, what are you? Or sometimes he'd just take one hand and he'd just grip until he trembled. And then he'd like look at me like, that was cool, huh? You know, and so he was just learning to strive, apparently. Like learning to work, learning to strive, just figuring out what he had and what he brought to the table. You know, Ron's making him have little muscles over here. I can't look in that direction. He's giving him, making him do muscle things. And so that is not the attitude we need to bring to the Lord. Like, love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. You know, like, we can't do that. Like, I mean, we can, but it's not going to get us anywhere. You know, it's not... it's not going to do anything for us. Us striving doesn't help us grow in love. You know? Us forcing it doesn't change anything with the Lord. You know? And he's like, yeah, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. It's like if we told the Lord, well, you know, God, I'm going to give to you as soon as I have something that is just mine to give. As soon as I have something that I did by myself and on my own, I'm going to give it back to you as an expression of love. And the Lord's like, yeah, that's never going to happen. Okay? Everything is mine. You know, and it's the same thing with this love. You trying to force it isn't going to do anything. You know, I don't know if Ron got it from somebody else, but he would talk about how growth is always a function of something. So physical growth is a function of time. Unless there's something out of order, you grow as you get older. You know, Than is 20 months old. There was a time when he was smaller than that. As time has gone on, he has gotten bigger. As time continues to go, he will get even larger. Do you know what I mean? There's a growth process that happens in his body just because of time. And if he just waits it out, he'll get bigger, right? And that mental knowledge is a function of learning. Like, if you just wait, you're never going to learn algebra, right? Like, if you start at the beginning of the year and you're like, I just have to show up. I don't actually have to do anything. But you know what? At the end of this year, I will know what I'm doing. You will not. You will fail, right? You have to actually learn. You have to. I see I'm speaking to some of the students in the room as they exchange significant glances. You actually have to put in learning, right? A teacher or a book, you have to engage with it in order to mentally grow, right? And so spiritual growth or growing in love does not come as a function of time. There are people who have said, who would say that they've been Christians for 40, 50 years. And you have an interaction with them and you're like, really? I would not have. Right? Because there's certain things that are not mature. Right? And there's people who have not been walking with the Lord very long. And you go, oh, they are growing in leaps. Like they are totally different than who they were 6 months ago, a year ago. Totally, wow, like night and day, I wouldn't have even recognized you. right? So it's not time, okay? And it's not book learning, because I went to an arts high school, and so I still have in my circle a whole bunch of atheists and agnostics who know a whole lot about the Bible, and it's not helping them at all. Like, they know a lot about the Bible, but they only know about the Bible, right? But they know a lot. So it can't be learning, because if it's learning, it's not working for them, right? So growing in love, growing in spiritually, has to be a function of something different, right? It's a function of obedience, right? In John, when we were before, you know, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, right? So we grow spiritually as we obey, but we only obey as we're empowered to, right? Because there is plenty of stuff that I try to kick on my own, right? Like I was like, oh Lord, like gossip was a big one for me. It was a real big one, right? And I was like, oh, I'm not supposed to do this. And so I would just try to be like, okay, well, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut this time. And I'd be like, well, did you hear? You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, okay. And so coming free from that sin came as God was revealed more to me.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? My obedience grew as my revelation grew, right? Because as I started to see other people with that same love that God had for me, like as my eyes started to get open to that, then I was like, ooh, that is not talking about them like that is dishonoring. Now that I understand, my obedience grew as my revelation grew. Yeah. My obedience grew as my revelation grew. You know? And so it's like, as I started to realize who they were and who God created them to be and actually understood what that meant, I didn't want to engage in those same activities. Right? You know? I was like, I don't want to talk about them like that. Okay? So, spiritual growth comes from revelation and comes from obedience. You know, it comes from me understanding and from me acting on that understanding. You know, and you get revelation from the Holy Spirit. And it all comes down to that love. Because God loves me the way that he loved Jesus. He loves you the way he loves Jesus. And I'm supposed to love you that same way. And so as I start to understand what that means, I see you in a totally different way. Right? See you in a totally different way. You know, the thoughts that God thinks towards us are more than the sands on the beaches. Right? That blows my mind when I really start to think about it. Like, all the sands on all the beaches in the entire world. You know? Huh. Like, even if we're just talking like Lake Ontario's beaches, that's a whole lot of sand. Right? I haven't even gotten to an ocean yet. Right? And they're good thoughts, right? They're dreams and visions and plans and purposes and good works that he's ordained for us and character traits and the way that we reflect his image. And he has that many thoughts for me. And he has that many thoughts for each one of you. And he has that many thoughts for the coworker that I have friction with. Right? And so as I get revelation, so as I get the barest glimpse of those thoughts, you know, when you think about prophecy and, you know, it being encouragement and edification and comfort, right? And sometimes we think of it as this huge thing to enter into. You know, and there's the capital P prophets, you know? And then there's like I always call it the capital and the lowercase p that every Christian can enter into. You know, where I'm just like, you know, I feel the Lord saying, da-da-da-da-da-da. And I used to think that was this massive thing. Like, Lord, if you would just give me a word for that person while I'm praying. And then a friend of mine said, you know, I used to strive about getting a word for someone. And then I realized God's thoughts for that person were more than all the sands on all the beaches of the world. And I was just asking him for a couple grains of sand. You know, I wasn't asking him for a huge thing. I was asking him just to reveal a couple thoughts. You know, and it changed his expectation and his boldness in being able to step out and say things for people. You know, and so it's that same thing. God's revealing, as he reveals a couple grains to me about what he thinks about that person, now I really don't want to sin against them. Not saying that I wanted to before, but now I have a strength and an energy on it that that I maybe didn't before, right? As I know how God loves me and how he thinks about me, right? It changes how I view myself, right? Because I go, oh, he loves me even in my weakness. He sees me trying. And he loves me. And he wants to strengthen me in that try, in that reach. He sees me reaching for him. Draw me, and I will run after you, right? And I'm going, God, draw me. You know, I use my kids as pictures a lot because they make up the bulk of my day, so the Lord uses them a lot to speak to me. And so when Than was little, he would sit up in his crib in his pack and play. And but he couldn't stand yet. Okay. And so we were getting ready to move, and so he was just it was a pack and play, so when he was in our room, and so I had to bend down to get him, right? It wasn't like a crib where he was at the same level as me. And so in the middle of the night he would wake up and he would sit up. And he would like, and he'd want me to get him, right? And I, because he's right there, I would want to just be able to scoop him out, right? But sometimes he would be wedged in the back corner of the pack and play, right? And I'd be like, buddy, come on, buddy. And I know he can't crawl and he can't reach, but I'm like, okay, if he just leans a little bit, then I can get him the whole rest of the way. Right? All I needed was a little bit of a reach. And I do all of the work. Right? Like he didn't do, like literally all he was doing was like leaning his head and letting gravity kind of just, you know, and then I could reach him. And it's like the same thing with the Lord. Like, I can't get there. All I've got is like my little tiny reach. And God goes, that's good. Got it. Got you. Got it. You know, you reached for me, but if I actually saw on a cosmic scale what my reach looked like in my mind, I'm like, oh, I'm reaching, I'm pursuing the Lord, I'm doing so good, I'm running so hard for him. And on a cosmic scale, it's like the equivalent of me wedged into the back corner of the pack and play, and I'm just like tilting my head just enough that gravity got me a little bit closer, and God just scooched me the rest of the way. But in my mind, I'm running hard. But as I see that picture, and I'm like, oh, God, I'm so weak. And he's like, yeah, but I love you. And I go, oh, you do. You brought me that whole way. Like, I didn't do that journey. You brought me that whole way. And so as I see that picture, as I get that revelation from the Lord of his love for me and how he sees me and how he's tender towards me, it encourages my heart to obey. Yeah. Right? Because now, I mean, you can obey for any number of reasons. You could obey out of fear, right? You can obey out of duty because you were supposed to, right? And you can obey out of love. And fear and duty will only get you so far, right? Those aren't necessarily unbiblical. Do you know what I mean? There's commands where it is do this or this. Do this or you will get stoned. Right? And so there's some fear behind that. Like, ooh, I want to stay on the right side of that line. But that only takes you so far. Right? As a kid, when I knew I was going to get spanked over something, I would obey. But the minute I forgot about the spanking, I was off doing my own thing. Right? If I did it because I was supposed to, like I would never do my homework. Right? And so every time I would commit to do my homework, I'd be like, I'm doing this because I'm supposed to. Right? And that would only last me for maybe a week. Right? You know? But when there is love fueling it, it lasts you. You have energy on it. Right? There are things that you can do from love and that you will keep doing out of your desire for the other person. Yes. Excuse me. That you will never be able to maintain because you're scared about what might happen or because you're supposed to. Right? Those only get you so far. And so God loves us fully. He brings his whole heart into the equation, his whole mind. All of his strength is bent towards loving us, right? And we know that to be true because God is love. So he can't love only partially or he's violating his whole nature, right? And he asks for the same thing for us. He goes, hey, bring your all so that we can be equally yoked in this thing. And we're like, oh, but our all is so weak, God. My all is so small. And he's like, yeah, I know. I know. But still bring it. Bring it. You know, bring all the emotions and the affections that you have. Like all your heart. Do you mean? Bring all your soul, all your personality, all the things that you want and desire and like and dislike. Bring it all in. Make it all line up with me. Bring all your mind, your thoughts. You know, that's a hard one, is bringing your thoughts into alignment, right? Bring all your strength, not just your physical strength, but all the resources that you have, you know? Your time, your money, right? Your gifts and your abilities. Bring all of it, all the resources that you have. Love me with all of it, you know? And when it is hard and you go, I don't know if I can do all that, know that we do it because the Lord pours his love out on us. We don't do it because we're striving. The minute that I start to go, oh, this is so hard. This is so, I mean, it's all consuming. And yes, it is difficult. But the minute I think it is on me to make that happen, I've lost sight, right? I've turned my eyes actually away from loving wholeheartedly because now my eyes are on myself instead of on the one who I love. God loves us the way that he loves himself. And we love him the way that he loves. And we do that because he pours out his love on us. And we just have to give it back. We just have to give it back. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you love. I thank you that even as hard as it is for us to realize, you love us to the same degree and intensity that you love Jesus. Father, I pray that you would reveal that love to us, that we would know what is the height and the depth and the width and the length of your love for us. Help us to understand it and encounter it in a new way. And God, your love is limitless. It is boundless. So no matter how far we journey into it, we are still as far from reaching the end of it as we were when we started. So I thank you that no matter where we are on our journey, God, that there is more for you to reveal to us about your love. And Father, as you love us, as you pour out that love on our hearts, help us to reflect it back to you. Yes. Help us to love you wholeheartedly, God, that no matter the season that we find ourselves in, no matter how difficult it may be, or how difficult the season may be that we are about to enter, God, help us to love you more. In every season, God, help us to love you fully, so that when we stand before you, we will have been wholehearted, God. You are good, God, and you are gracious. Holy Spirit, reveal love to us. And pray that you would come like wind, God. That you would brush away all those areas where dust and debris have stacked up and not allowed us to fully experience your love. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come like wind and blow through our hearts. And that you would come like water, God, and that you would wash away. Wash away those areas that are clouded. Those areas that are clouded, God, where we don't see you rightly. Where we don't see your love rightly, God. cleanse our hearts, that we would see you more clearly, that we would know your love, and that we would experience it more fully. Help us, God. Help us not to strive. Help us to rest and abide in you. You are the vine and we are the branches. We can do nothing apart from you, God. Even this love we have to give was yours first. Pray that you would give us more love, God. Help us to see you the way you truly are. Help us to see ourselves the way you see us. Help us to see each other the way you see us, the way you see them, as you created them to be, not as the frail expression that they are in that moment, God. Help us to see you rightly and to see everything else rightly as well, God. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Valerie. That was a great word. I just want to say, too, you know, Valerie made mention about several scriptures and things being what she was going to talk about. We don't ever talk to each other about who's doing what. I even asked Ron, what's Valerie preaching on tonight? He's like, I don't have a clue. But the Spirit of God comes and he knits everything together, the worship and all that happens, and we're so thankful for that. Please feel free to join us for some refreshments in the other room. Thank you for coming. Let this week be a week where you sense the love of God in a way that you never have before. Amen. God bless you.